I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee meeting to order. Today is September 18th. The time is 1:10 p.m. Roll call, please.
Congressman Potts?
Present.
Congressman Big Horse?
Present.
Congresswoman Edwards? Congresswoman Goodfox?
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Present.
Chair Whitehorn?
Here. Congresswoman Edwards has let body know that she wouldn't be able to make it to this meeting today. Next item on the agenda is prayer. Clerk, would you please, Ms. Walker, would you please give a prayer?
Father, I thank you for this day, and I thank you for your grace and your mercy and all the gifts that you have provided us. Lord, I thank you for the sunshine and for this beautiful weather that you've given us, and I just praise you, Father, for all that you do for us on a daily basis. Lord, I ask that you would just be with the people at this table as they make decisions for this nation, and I just ask that you would guide their minds and their thoughts and give them the strength to make the decisions that they need to make that are the best decisions for this nation and that would follow your will. Father, I pray for each person that is not here. I ask, Lord, that you would protect them and keep them safe and guide their steps as well. Father, I just praise you once again, and I ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Ms. Walker. Next item on the agenda is approval of minutes. Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the minutes are approved for September 13th. Next item on the agenda is FY19 budget consideration. I'd like to take the opportunity to introduce our new budget analyst at the table this morning. This afternoon, this is Ms. Megan Sneed. Thank you. It took me a minute. Okay. Ms. Megan Sneed, she's been looking at what we do, kind of observing and putting her hands down in it, and she's going to help us today with our meeting, and so hopefully we'll be real welcoming to her and not too hard, difficult on her today. So we're glad that you're here and you're a part of our work team. We appreciate that. Okay, so let's go ahead and Congressman Potts, do you want to say any introductory words about where we are here, or would you prefer me to? Okay, well, I'm going to give you the floor then, Ms. Sneed.
Okay, so I don't know if I'm missing something that you guys want to hear, let me know.
We will. Okay. Believe me.
Okay.
Happy to be a co-pilot.
So appropriation / tribal projected revenue is at $46,401. Then I was told the next thing you guys would probably want to look at is the legislative requests.
Mm-hmm.
So total, they're setting at $5,322,717.
And that's out of the general fund?
And that's just total for the legislation. The general fund is
okay.
$316,000.
Okay, I see you've divided those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then we have the economic development at $1,980,000. And the retained revenue at $1,950,000.
Okay.
So as you can see, we are over in general fund and economic development, but we still have $428,436 left for retained revenue.
Okay. So all of these bills right here, the Attorney General, what does the AIRR stand for? I know it's been there, but
already included in retained revenue?
It's supposed to be AI, AR, already included in appropriated revenue. So it's, those are already carried on the AR 2019 tab.
So they're over here. So yes. You don't have, so these are the additional requests that are bringing us, okay, so can we scroll to the very top of, let's look at column D. Okay, so 1855, the 82, we talked about that being a wash. That's money already in the capital assets fund. Speaker, we're talking about your request for the breezeway funding out of the capital assets and improvement fund. Did we decide or think that any additional maneuvering needed to go on with that? Is it going to be requested out of FY18's funds, and that way we don't have to have a projected revenue yes. amendment? Okay.
That bill is on the next step of oxygen that is amended to come out of 18.
So then basically it doesn't need to show up on this chart, correct?
Correct.
So can we just, for now, back that out of the total? Oh, wow. You made it go away just by, you're magical. Okay. And then let's move down here and take a look at OMCA 1860. I don't have my tracker with me right now. Where does this $180,000 sit right now? Is it in GovOps? ONCA 1860. It's also the donations for the executive branch too. I think 80,000 of it is an art grant portion, if I'm recalling correctly, and 100,000 is for donations.
Doesn't distribute it out, just says 180,000.
In GovOps.
So it's in GovOps, is it? Okay. Mm-hmm. So that one still is in committee. Can we scroll down just a little bit more? And then the last one that's a request on the general fund is $53,516. So by taking, can we go to our bottom totals now? Okay, so Mr. Potts, you're a little bit more intimate with this than I am. So where are we over? Where's the big overage here?
The two pieces of legislation that would drive you over projected revenue right now are 1860 and 1868. That would be it. You're over 187,000. Additionally, what would need to be reconciled is 1862 and 1858. I'm not sure if one of those has passed out of commerce at this point, but something would need to be decided on those two pieces. Right. That, if both of them were to go through, you'd be 880 in the hole. Then remaining in retained revenue is 428,000.
The committee's taken no official action, but I believe the direction that committee's headed is we're going to hear all of the presentations and leave all of those appropriation bills open and on the table. Until we can have a comprehensive conversation, because we know that the request, the ask on that fund is over. So, but I think to give everybody equal hearing of their plans is the direction we're headed on that, and then trying to resolve the issue of the demand. So, you know, I believe that somewhere, is it in our rules that we're supposed to report where it's at 95% of the projected revenue total. And I guess the way we figure projected revenue right now, that would mean 90% of $119 million or so, which I think is a little disingenuous. I think this needs a report to Congress, or maybe just to send this out to Congress. How does the committee want to proceed on this? I am really open to suggestions.
Thank you. I think at this point, as quickly as possible, to go ahead and pull it out to the entire body and some point, then we have to come together to decide how we're going to work with your name. At least get the information. Everybody's wanting to know where we are.
Mm-hmm.
This tells us where we are.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I'd like to see that.
Can we see if the, well, maybe somebody can just tell me. Those negative demand, well, that does, that's not really contained on this, the first tab, the appropriated revenue report. It's really not showing the demand. So I guess what we need to do is to send out, that is the front copy, and then the legislative request on the back side of it. And maybe give me some little highlights down there on those bottom totals. Is there any other suggestions from the committee, Congressman Potts?
That's what we've done in the past. I think that would be consistent with how this committee has acted, just sending out the legislative request sheet with the appropriate revenue report so that all members are aware of where we're at.
Okay. So, are we good? We don't feel like we need committee recommendation to the body, but I'll just make them aware by sending the report to them. Congresswoman Stabler.
I do have some amendments to the budget I'd like to make in the future. I'm assuming I need to wait until at least they've been brought back to appropriations, since they're about to all roll out of the committee.
I think either or would be fine to do it in the committee of jurisdiction, and then maybe some discussion in that committee could happen if those sections are still open, or we could reopen those sections. Or they can be done here at appropriations. I think that some people like it to happen in the committee of jurisdiction. I feel like we have a representative from each of the committees of jurisdiction here. So I'm okay with it either way. Your preference. I think other people have different preferences about how that's handled.
Okay.
I'm a fan of the work being right. done in the committee of jurisdiction. That's just me.
That's fine.
But yeah, yes, I agree. We have a representative from each. I just don't like to. I'm sorry. To be recognized.
Yeah.
I just feel like sometimes if it happens here, and we're saying, you know, sometimes we have. Plethora of people not on this committee that are here, and sometimes we don't. And I've just seen in the past sometimes where a decision's made here regarding our financials, and then the people from the committee weren't able to attend this meeting, and they're like, "Hey, what's going on? What are y'all doing?" You know, and I want for all of us to be on the same page as much as possible. I'm keeping it right here. I have money out of that executive budget that I want to cut. And so I'm keeping a note of it, and I just haven't talked to any. I think I talked to you about it the other day because we were in health, and I was like, yeah. So, and it's only $14,228, but it's also something I just cannot agree with. You know, for a camp
going to help.
For a camp that is loosey goosey on how they're going to market and get, and it's during the month of June, and I'm just not on board with it.
Okay. So. I will speak with each committee and let them know what they are, and I've been also alerting the executive that they'll be coming and make sure that everybody's in agreement.
Okay. That sounds good. So do we have any more discussion about?
I do. I would prefer for you to, if you can, when you send it out, to let the members kind of know what we have, where we've identified the pieces of legislation that are causing an issue with, you know, in regards to the numbers and what we have and what's being requested. So if you can kind of put a little narrative so that everyone can get caught up that have been in and out of these meetings, that would probably be helpful.
Okay, so I want to get some clarity on that about how you want me to do that. So can you click back to the legislative requests? So should the note be about this page right here, the additional appropriation requests other than operating funds? Because you're going to ask me to put a narrative in there. I want to make sure that that's what you're wanting.
And I just sponsored one of those pieces of legislation, but I think that it's important for the full body to be, to receive something so that everyone knows what we know at this table, which, and we have identified ONCA 1868, which I'm the sponsor of, and ONCA 1860, which is Congresswoman Edwards, but they are not operating in their appropriation request that caused our numbers to be where we're going to have to make some decisions.
And I guess at the risk of going, talking about a bill, but not really, 1860, it's my understanding that 8,000 of that is for arts matching grants and 100,000 of that is the chief's or the nation's donation.
Nation's budget.
So I think he has 50,000 within his budget for his political donations.
Yes.
So I guess, you know, that's something to discuss because I kind of see it as operational somewhat, but not really. I mean,
I could. Uh-huh. I mean, I could go there with you and mm-hmm. I could probably entertain both debates mm-hmm. and agree, you know, yet number one, it's always been in there mm-hmm. Since I can remember. And I think that the number has kind of stayed the same. But two, no one is, if that money got reduced, no one's out of a job. No one's, I mean, it's not going to, it kind of is like a service, some would argue. And I, you know, I don't know.
I see the treasurer has stepped out of the room. I would just, and maybe he's missed a lot of this conversation, kind of like to get his take. I know that under previous treasurers, they would be very not happy with the look of this. And I'm not happy. I'm not pleased with it either. It's a scary place for us to be, I think. So is there any more questions or comments or directions that this committee thinks that we need to head with all the appropriation requests that are before the nation right now, before this Congress? Are we good to move on?
That was 18...
1860 is the mm-hmm. Is the appropriation that goes to the foundation that handles donations and arts matching grants.
1868 is to provide the employee portion for the Osage Nation Home Health Board so that their Osage employees can have health insurance.
And then I guess up at the top we have one more bill that's, I guess, considered to be a wash that's coming out of capital assets and improvement. Wait a minute. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, we took it off of there, right? I guess you can add it. You can add
maybe
it back.
I should have put mine in capital asset improvements.
Remember, I asked you to take that 82.
No, mm-hmm.
Because it will be eventually, but you probably need to add it back in right now, and I'll make a note of that when I send it out to the body. Okay, I think I'm good to go and move on from here. Treasurer Alexander's back. Come join us here at the table, Treasurer. We're just looking at our balances that we have and the appropriation requests that we have on the general fund of the Treasury. And have you met our new budget analyst?
No, I haven't.
This is Megan Sneed. This is Treasurer Alexander.
How do you do?
Nice to meet you.
My pleasure.
So just the demands and the requests on the general fund right now, we're looking at $269,666 in deficit.
Mm-hmm.
That makes me not feel very comfortable. Do you have any suggestions? We're looking at, we have a couple outside of operating budgets here that have been filed against the general fund and the Treasury. I just wanted to know if you have any treasurer advice or comments to make
about
this.
We're just going to continue to follow this with you on a daily basis, and I think probably towards the end of this week, maybe even the first of next week, we'll be able to come in here with some meaningful adjustments to try to get rid of those brackets.
Okay. Well, that sounds very like a good thing that we should do. So thank you for
Don't like them any more than you do.
Right. Okay, good. I know you didn't. I just wanted to hear a comment from you. All right, I'm ready to move on then if everybody else is. Thank you for your comment there. We are now on ONCA 1869, an act to amend ONCA 1285, Osage Permanent Fund Act, to allow the interest and dividends to remain in the fund, to change direct services to direct assistance, and to establish an alternate effective date. Congressman Potts is the sponsor, and I am going to give you the floor, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This one is pretty self-explanatory. Some members have said, you know, why don't we do that? So this bill does it. Currently, the law allows for the interest earned on an annual basis to be swept back into the general fund. We appropriate that as part of projected revenue. This bill would change that and would allow those funds or require those funds to remain in the permanent fund, which would allow the permanent fund to grow, therefore earning more interest on an annual basis. Additionally, there was a definition contained in this original enacting legislation for direct services. That's contrary to what we have, or conflicted somehow with what we have in 15 ONC 1A101. So this removes any reference to direct services and replaces it with direct assistance. And that should be it. Additionally, I can leave it there for right now.
Congresswoman Goodlops.
Okay, so on Friday, I got my email and was reading through all the filed legislation, and I read it, and I was like, I love this. But this is going to be a problem. And here's why it's a problem. and so I thought about it as much as I could over the weekend, thinking, how are we going to sort through this? And I had already been in discussion with legislative council and the gaming board over the course of a few days. Congressman Big Horse and Congresswoman Stabler are aware of a piece of legislation that I'm working on with the gaming board to put either between 0.5% to 1% on top of the projected or on top of the $45 million distribution of their revenue into the permanent fund. So I'm working on that, and Trey is going to speak on my behalf tomorrow at the gaming board. We've started drafting the legislation, so that was my attempt to put money into the permanent fund, because I'm of the opinion that yes, since we started the permanent fund, we put money into it, and we've never added any, you know, added anything to it. And realistically, I just don't see us ever adding anything to it. Every single day, a new Osage baby is born, with that comes a benefit, and we are growing as a nation, growing every single day, adding new members. It's a good thing, but I see our conversations going in circles, constant circles of how when are we going to start putting money into that permanent fund? So that was my attempt to reach out to the gaming board and say, I just don't think it's going to happen with that distribution that you give us. I'm pretty sure we're just going to keep bumping our head against the wall, and so I'm going to ask for 0.5% to 1%. You all decide, you all vote on it, but I'm going to draft this legislation, which is in the works. Then your bill came out, and I was like, well, that's just more money to the permanent fund. Great, you know, I'm glad about that, but how are we going to work around this? Because this was literally the first thing I thought of. I thought, how are we going to work around it, and what's the time frame? Those are my questions for the sponsor.
Congressman Fox.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Congressman Goodfox.
Yes.
I would love to work with you on that bill. I think that sounds like a good idea. Additionally, I think we should do this. I don't think it's an either or. I think we can do both, and I think we should do both. We've been around this table for years saying we need to do this. This does it. I agree with the chief. this would create a significant problem. I think that this legislation doesn't create the problem. This legislation starts to solve the problem. The problem is that consistently this Congress and this government has appropriated nearly 100% of our projected revenue against the advice of I don't know how many treasurers before. We're down to 46,000 remaining in projected revenue this year. I don't think this legislation is the problem. This legislation starts to solve the problem. The problem is every year we butt up against a projected revenue and continue to push the limits and continue to spend more and more and more without a plan to move forward. That being said, I recognize that it's an immediate adverse impact to our budgets. I recognize that. I do. I think the adverse effect is that we put ourselves in this position to begin with. I don't think that this legislation is the problem. That being said, I recognize that we're not going to make our budget if we don't change this. It's the same argument I made against ONCR 1818, which increased projected revenue with the $5 million additional dollars from gaming. We could not make a budget this year without that $5 million. But I'm still philosophically opposed to just moving this goalpost, which is what this would do. So that being said, I'm willing to offer an amendment to page 2, strike lines 66 and 67, and insert the following language. This bill shall be effective October 1 of 2019.
I have a motion to amend. Is there a second?
I will second for discussion because that gets me closer to this not being a, oh my God, moment. Okay.
I'm going to let Congressman Pott speak and then Congressman Brickhorst.
I agree. This amendment would make it effective October 1 of 2019, which is the start of the next fiscal year. Okay. So this would allow the $880,000 that we're already anticipating to spend in fiscal year 19 to be in projected revenue. But I'll still shout it from the rooftops. Thanks for this amendment. That's what's saving us at this point. This bill is fundamentally good. It is the step that this direction, the step that this Congress should be making. And it's sad that an amendment has to come in and say, we'll do it next year to start the process of saving money. But that's where we're at. So that amendment doesn't. It moves it to the start of the next fiscal year, which saves the day. That being said, you're automatically $880,000, give or take, short on next year's projected revenue. So, as a body, we need to start looking for $880,000 worth of cuts, or start anticipating where we can't spend money, shy of having a new revenue source, which I'm also in support of.
Congresswoman, I had Congressman Big Horse and then Congressman Pickbox.
I think Congressman Potts answered my questions, because I remember in our discussion this wasn't going to kick in until next year. It wasn't going to affect this year's budget. And I understand the $880,000 that we've already encumbered for next year.
You can speak to that, please, Mr. Potts, or Congressman Potts.
Unfortunately, Congressman Bighorse, that's inaccurate. We've not discussed this bill. That's in relation to another bill where we had to change the alternate effective date to make sure that we can spend funds this year. That was the amendment to the retained revenue fund. So we haven't discussed this, but it's the same case.
Okay.
This is the second time that I've had to amend legislation because we've already spent money or already exceeded a projection in what we're planning to appropriate. So strike two.
Yes.
I appreciate it because us new Congress members, you know, we stepped off into a hornet's nest, and I just appreciate you working with us like that.
No problem.
Congressman Goodbox.
Okay, well, I will be voting for this amendment, and I had a discussion when I read the legislation I had had a couple of discussions with some individuals, and I was like, well, you know, if we amended and it was effective next year, we have 1 full year to work it out, like 1 full year. And I'm not, that, I don't know, I don't know that that's going to be like any, it's going to be a painful process, whether we do it now or we do it later. It's just going to be a painful process. But let me just say, I'm voting for the amendment. I'm not 100% sure right now if I'm going to vote for this yes on the floor or no, simply because I had a different idea of ways to put money into the permanent fund, and I wrapped my mind around that and got to work on it and didn't blindside anyone. I called the gaming board. They were the first people I called, and talked to some members that I thought would support it, and got some people on board. But let me say this, I'm not against putting as much as we can into the permanent fund. I just don't know that I'm, it's a lot of money, and I wish now that when we established the permanent fund, we would have had it in there, that we could have never used the interest or the dividends. In hindsight, that's the way we should have went, but we didn't, so here we are. All right, but I'm going to vote for this amendment.
Any more discussion on the motion to amend, Congressman Stapler?
On the motion to amend?
We have a motion on the floor to amend
the alternate
effective date. And okay, So let's go ahead and take a vote on that. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
Any opposed? Seeing none, the motion passes. Congresswoman Stabler, did you have more comment you wanted to make?
Yes. Get my thought back. I too am in favor of setting aside as much money as we can. I just want a little clarification, because after learning about all the different funds and their specifications, then we have a capital assets fund that where we can earmark funds. So the permanent fund, from just the culture that I've learned so far, is everybody's hands off on the permanent fund. So do we feel like that's a more secure place to put these funds, with the idea that we can draw them down later for specific purpose? Because we have some big dreams out there that's going to take a lot of money.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
Okay, so this is just one congresswoman's opinion, and when I started discussing with the gaming board, and then of course I did call executive office and said, this is what I'm thinking about doing, and I've talked to a few members of Congress, the first question, because I would say, out of all the people that I spoke to, the individuals that are least knowledgeable about that permanent fund is the gaming board. Okay. And Mark Rivard, you know, I was kind of scared to call him about this. I was like, oh man, we're really gonna get it from him. He's gonna be like, you guys need to beat it. But he was very, and I mean very, receptive to my conversation. And he was like, this is good work, Alice. This is, you know, and I get it. I get what you're saying. You're growing every day. You have programs, services, and benefits to the people. You guys are doing great things with the money, but I get it. And he said, well, I've got a question now. I want to know what goes on with that permanent fund. And I was like, can any of y'all just get into it for, you know, any old thing? And I was like, no, we cannot. And I said, and the one thing that I will say that we have done right is we haven't touched it. We haven't added to it, but we haven't taken away from it. And he said, well, why is that? And I said, it'd be political suicide, honestly. And I said, we have not, since we established it, we haven't had one person that has come with a piece of paper and stood up at that podium and said, they want to take money out of the permanent fund for blah, blah, blah. Not one time. And I said, you'd be hard pressed to find anyone that would do it. I just don't think you will. And so he liked that. And that's really what I think about, is that when we established it, we made it hard to get into, but we also put words in there, because this was Chief Standing Bear's bill, that said it could only be used for blah, blah, blah. And that was another question that another gaming board member had. Are y'all going to go and take some of that money out for a statue or a building or a memorial or this or that? And I was like, can't do it. It's, you know, so I think that at this point, putting money into the permanent fund is the safest thing for us to do so that people don't race to the podium to try to appropriate it out.
Congressman, thoughts?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I agree. This is the safest place to park money around here. What I'll add, because there are some voices, and I'd like to address it, that say, you know, why are you saving all this money? That's not what a government's for. You're not supposed to be saving money. You're supposed to be spending it on our people. And I agree with that comment, too. By no means am I trying to sock away money in a permanent fund to not spend it on our people. By no means am I trying to sock money away in retained revenue to not spend money on our people. I agree with Congressman Staver. We have big dreams. And with big dreams comes a big price tag. And I don't see us planning for those big dreams. And it's going to take putting money aside. So I'm not going to get into a permanent fund. I'm pretty confident in saying that right now. There may be some circumstances where, you know, for direct assistance, we've got to get in there, and I agree that it's not off limits. We can still spend that money on our people. But, and I'm not sitting here to say, let's just keep putting in rabbit holes and making it hard to find. My appeal, my plea for us to start setting money aside is that it's almost an economic development decision. We sit here so often and say, you know, we've thrown $20 million down the hole for an LLC. We have an extra $800,000 this morning. What has returned profits to this nation is the interest on that permanent fund. And Mr. Treasurer, correct me, it's 2.3 or 2.4 million that we swept from the permanent fund into projected revenue 2 years ago?
Last year. To make our operating budget.
So far, this nation has done better at economic development by saving money than by spending it on economic development. That's a problem. But the solution isn't, well, let's just not start saving money. Let's start putting some more away. Maybe we're getting good at saving money. Maybe that's the best way to start spending more money on our people. So that's what this is an attempt to do. The only thing in my mind that's returned profits to the nation is interest on our savings account. So let's keep doing it.
Any more discussion to the bill? Like, entertain some motion and movement on it if we want to get it off our agendas. Or
Congressman Potts.
Motion to report ONCA 1869 to the Congress of the Duke Pass recommendation.
Hasn't been, sorry.
I have a motion on the floor. Do I have a second?
Amendments?
Yes.
Second.
Second from Congressman Bickhorse. Any more discussion to this bill? Congresswoman Goodfox.
So I'm big on the three options that we have here in committee, which is do pass, do not pass, or no recommendation. So I'll be voting no for this. I think that this is this is cut and dry. This is a big decision though. I mean, it's, and we're in the middle of session. And I just told you I didn't know that if I'm gonna vote it up or down on the floor. Did vote for the amendment, because if it passes out, I think that the amendment was needed. I would be more comfortable voting it out with no recommendation. That's where I'm at, no recommendation. Because when you vote things out of committee, people aren't here, they're not on a committee, what they listen to is the person who's standing up there reading that report. And if it comes out with a pass or with a do not pass or no recommendation, if I didn't attend that committee meeting, I'm paying attention to the person that's reporting out. What was the consensus of that committee? Because those were possibly six of my colleagues. So I'll be a no vote on this. It's probably going to pass out, and if it does, it does. And if it doesn't, then I would make a motion to pass it out with no recommendation.
Any more discussion? I just like to comment. I support the do pass. I don't see an issue with saving our interest income. I think we've all talked about why haven't we done the permanent fund? Why are we sweeping the interest off? So I think this is an effort for us to add to that fund annually, which hasn't happened, and I think it's going to be easier than any other request. I think that I was trying to do the unassigned revenue at the end of a audit, and that seemed to not be palatable either. So I think we ought to save the interest income, build the fund up, and if we can even get more push out of gaming to put some more in our permanent fund, that would be even more awesome. So I support the do pass. Any more discussion? Roll call, please.
Congressman Big Horse?
Yes.
Congresswoman Goodfox?
No.
Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Congressman Potts?
Yes.
Chair Whitehorn?
Yes. We will report that out to the floor of Congress by our committee report tomorrow. We are at the end of our
motion to adjourn.
Adjournment. Motion second. All in favor say yes.
Yes.
We are adjourned.
Okay.
I